The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, October 28th. Halloween is around the corner. But before we get to Sunday's spooky slate of games, we've got to dive in on Thursday Night Football, which is probably the best game of the week. And looking at this slate, we're going to do it, talk about it from a gambling perspective, a prop bet perspective, and a DFS perspective as well. If you're dying to hear the DFS content, you will need to go to youtube.com/pick6 and join. Well, you don't have to, you can go watch it. You have to subscribe, but we'd love for you to subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube right now, please hit the like button and comment with your favorite Thursday Night Football bet. Turn on your alerts. Activate all YouTube mechanisms, whatever you can do to help us, will help us out greatly. Joining me to break down the game, as he does twice a week, which obviously was something mandated by the bosses and the big corporate bigwigs. Tyler Sullivan, what's up, buddy?
What's going on? Well, you know you just wanted to have me on a couple of weeks. That's what it was. Come on now. The big corporate bigwigs.
I'm saying that it was our idea to have you on, and then the corporate bigwigs were like, Sully, we know you don't want a podcast with Brinson twice a week, but you're doing it anyway. You don't have a choice. You can check out, by the way, Sully writes a gambling preview for every – it is really it works well. And it's fun to talk to you, too. Yeah, sure. But Monday and Thursday on the site, cbsports.com, gambling preview available there as well. We mentioned the YouTube thing. I don't know if people have picked up on this, but we're pushing YouTube pretty hard. So if you like this podcast – and you listen to this podcast regularly, even if you kind of like the podcast, go subscribe on YouTube and turn on your alerts. We are live, by the way. If you don't live in the Eastern time zone, you can come if you're in the Eastern time zone, but it's a little bit later. We are live on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday nights, including after this Thursday Night Football game, myself, John Breach, and Ryan Wilson, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. our pick shows. Today at 1 p.m., me, Pete Prisco, and RJ White, we'll make the picks live at 1, and then that show will be in the audio feed on Friday. Also, live on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. on YouTube, a mock draft show with hosted by Ryan Wilson, I believe, is what Josh Edwards and Chris Trapasso join him as well. So lots of YouTube information. Help us out.
Who doesn't love a little draft talk, though? I mean, come on now. Yeah, that's the best.
Speaking of draft YouTube talk, did you hear about the guy? I don't know if this filtered its way. I think Eric K brought it up, but there's a guy named Real Broshmo. You ever heard of this guy?
No.
He's a YouTuber who makes fun of mock drafts. He reads other people's mock drafts and breaks them down pick by pick and mocks the mock. And he's a 32-minute video where he's ripping apart Wilson's mock draft, if you want to go check that out. It's pretty cool. Broshmo.
It's awesome.
He looks a little bit like Matt Patricia. So it's kind of funny to see Wilson dunked on by another bearded podcast host. Anyway, Packers at Cardinals. Cardinals are -6.5. The over-under is 50.5 in this one, Sully. And, of course, notable, I believe it was reported by Steve Weiss of NFL Network on Wednesday that Devontae Adams is not going to travel to this game. He will not go to Arizona, which means he's not going to play. He would be eligible to play if he could pass two COVID tests within 24 hours of each other. So I'm a little surprised that they're just, I guess he must not have passed one on Wednesday.
Yeah, my question would be, is, you know, does he have to travel separately anyways? Like, would that, yeah, you know, would that have to be something where it's just like, all right, well, we're going to leave without you anyways because you have COVID, so you're going to go on a separate plane. I know the Patriots did that a lot last year where they had a lot of different players going on different planes and stuff. So I don't know if that's part of their precautionary system.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I mean, now if he passed the two tests, he could travel with the team.
Yeah.
But, you know, because if it was a Sunday game, I think he'd probably be able to play. I mean, that's a sort of wild.
Right. Well, that's the biggest thing with this. It just so happens to be a Thursday night game. If we're talking about this being on, you know, Sunday night football or, you know, primetime game, you know, something like that.
1 o'clock on Sunday, he's probably fine.
Exactly. He should be good to go. But ultimately, doesn't look like it for this one.
Yeah, it's not looking good that he's going to travel with the team. I mean, the issue is that, like, you could, if he passed a test at 4 o'clock on, we talked about this previously, you know, with somebody else.
I forget who it was.
Somebody else for a Thursday night game, I think, where they were like, well, if they pass the test on Wednesday, then pass the test on Thursday, they might.
Oh, was this Dallas Goedert? I think it was Goedert.
That's right. Yeah. Or it was Ertz. Oh, no, it was Goedert. You're right. It was Goedert. Because Goedert ended up not playing in Ertz. That was Ertz's final game with the Eagles. He was traded the next morning on Friday. Yeah. Good call. Good call. To the Cardinals. Zach Ertz in this game.
There we go.
Woo, full circle. Al Lazard. Unvaccinated and will not be traveling. He is not eligible to play in this game. He will miss the game because you have to minimum 5 days if you're unvaccinated. And that sort of shows you the difference too on the vax versus non-vax. Why we harped on it throughout the course of the lead up to throughout the course of the preseason is that, again, like, you know, if this were the Ravens and it were Lamar Jackson, you know, hypothetically, you know, he would just wouldn't be able to play on Thursday, and that would be a blow for the Ravens. That's just the whole point of it. Marcus Valdes-Scantling might actually come back for this game. He's on IR. It's one of those where we probably won't know until Thursday evening if he is indeed going to play. They have to activate him, of course, and then actually play him. Two other injuries of note for the Cardinals. DeAndre Hopkins dealing with a hamstring injury, did not practice Monday or Tuesday. We record this show on Wednesday afternoons. As of last check, we don't have the Wednesday injury reports for these two teams who do not operate in the Eastern time zone. And J.J. Watt did not practice on Monday or Tuesday with a shoulder injury as well. Cardinals injury report is actually a little bit longer. Like, Kyler Murray's on there with a right finger injury, but he was limited Monday, full practice Tuesday, so that shouldn't be a concern. Isaiah Simmons, a few other guys were limited practice, but it looks like more or less they're going to be pretty healthy out there. I would guess that Hopkins and Watt play in this game.
Yeah, to me that screams veteran day off. You know, just taking it slow on a short week. You know what you're supposed to do. You know
that, they had this injury, and like, we don't care if they practice. They don't. Yeah. You know. Yeah, exactly.
And they're so talented that it doesn't really, you know, impact in terms of us talking props with Hopkins. Doesn't really change the conversation all too much either.
Yeah, I don't think so at all. Looks like Dennis Kelly is the only DNP for the Packers on both Monday or Tuesday. Everybody else, so I mean, relatively healthy game outside of those COVID issues. And then, you know, we'll keep an eye on those stars. Look, if DeAndre Hopkins isn't practicing, if he's a DNP on Wednesday, don't bet his overs. You know, but his props are still up at Caesars, so clearly it's not that big a concern. How do you feel about this game as a whole? I mentioned the line is 6.5. It was 3.5. When the news about Davante Adams hit, I've been told reliably that there were, I've heard third hand reliably. You got to trust the source.
That's a Brinson source right there. I like it.
Yeah. That's a bit of a mixed bag, right? Or juxtaposition. That when the Cardinals were -3.5, there were several sharp groups, like syndicates or whatever it was, people with money, who were planning to bet on the Cardinals anyway, and were probably hoping to get it at 3. And then when the Davante Adams news happened, they pounced on the Cardinals at -3.5 or -4. And so the culmination of Adams being likely out and that rush of money on Arizona probably pushed the line a little bit further out than it necessarily would. Like, what I'm trying to say is that I don't think Davante Adams is worth 3 points to the spread.
Right. Right. And I think that that's true. You know, it's not a quarterback. Quarterbacks make that type of line movement. It's right. Not so much wide receivers. As talented as Davante Adams is, there's no debating that. But when we're talking about that position, it's just not something that should move the needle as much as it to the naked eye did in that game. And like you said, you kind of illustrated why that might have been the case. I still like the Cardinals in this one. Right now you're looking at it under a touchdown when you factor in the extra point. I like that from a Cardinals standpoint. If it gets any higher than that, I'd probably have to lean a little bit more towards the Packers, but if you can still get this under seven, I'm still very comfortable going with the Cardinals here. These are two teams that have been very good against the spread this season. I believe they've only had one ATS loss apiece going into this game. So to me, I have no problem going with the Arizona Cardinals. I just think that they're the more well-rounded team, healthy, obviously. And from a Packers standpoint, I just don't know what the receiving core is going to look like for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we talk about Davante Adams and how talented he is. It's not only that, but Aaron Rodgers almost exclusively looks his way. We're talking about, you know, I think probably at this point, the most targeted wide receiver in the NFL. I don't know if the numbers in front of me, but wouldn't shock me if he's number one or certainly inside the top five. And the offense runs through him when Aaron Rodgers wants to move the ball down the field and when the going gets tough. Right now, we don't necessarily know who that's going to be. Alan Lazard was the second most targeted wide receiver on the roster. He's not going to be playing in this game. And like you said, we don't know the status of MVS, probably going to play. But then you're looking at somebody like him, virtual, you know, unknown as a wide receiver number one, or St. Brown or Amari Rodgers. It's just it's not a murderer's row at the receiving position. So to me, I would much rather take the Cardinals passing attack than I would the Packers. And I like the Cardinals defense better.
Here's something kind of interesting. I'm using statmuse.com for this. It's basically Aaron Rodgers' game log without Davante Adams.
Okay.
And I'm going to only look, I mean, this is not me trying to cherry pick, but I'm going to look at the six games since there's seven games since 2018, but in one of them against Detroit in 2008 or 12/30/2018 week, which is just week 17. Rodgers only attempted three or five passes. In other words, Davante was held out, and they were like, "All right, Aaron, go throw five passes, then you're done for the day," because they clinched the spot, presumably. Yep. I don't exactly remember what it was, but six games, and the other three from 2015. Adams, I don't think it's fair to really look at how Adams would impact Rodgers' performance, because they would have had Jordy Nelson and, you know, other wide receivers. But I think if we look at just 2019 and 2020, that's actually relevant, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So six games, oddly enough, all five of them in October and one in late September. So I guess this is just like a
spooky season for Adams,
right? Well, he missed a bunch of time in 2019, missed three games with an injury. And then last year, I think he missed two games with an injury. Rodgers in those six games has accumulated 17 touchdowns and one interception. That's pretty good. He has completed 64.7, 61.5, 80.6, 69.7, 65.6, 81.8% of his passes, respectively, starting from the last game moving forward. And then his yardage totals, 238, 283, 429, 305, 283, 327. In other words, what I'm getting at is that Aaron Rodgers has been pretty good without Davante Adams over the last 2 years, which is really surprising, because his target, the target percentage that Davante Adams takes up in these Packer games is kind of stunning. And so I remember that he had that monster game against Oakland in 2019. No Adams there. 25 of 31, 429, five touchdowns, no picks. Most of these matchups, Dallas, Detroit, Oakland, KC, New Orleans, and Atlanta don't exactly reek of great defenses, though.
Right, and that's going to be my only pushback on that. We're going into this game. I believe Arizona is number two in the NFL in DVOA, only looking up to the Buffalo Bills. So it's still going to be tough sledding.
Correct.
You have to factor that in, obviously. You know, the opponent, the situation, short week. They've also been in heightened COVID protocols this week. So they've had like virtual meetings. They've been in wearing masks and all that kind of stuff. So you're not going through your normal game week that you would be going through, you know, if you didn't have this scare. So to me, and they're not going to have their defensive coordinator in this game too, I believe. He's not traveling, you know, very similar to Adams. So, you know, it's just another factor there as to why I'm leaning towards the Cardinals, especially when you're, again, you're still under seven points at home. I like that from all across the board there for the Cardinals. And the other thing I do like in terms of the total is the under. I just think the under is probably going to hit here as well. You wouldn't think it. You would think that the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals would be, you know, these high octane offenses, and you're just like, okay, they're blowing doors. The overs hit all the time. Not really the case. I mean, the under for Green Bay this season is 5-2, and the under for Arizona is above 500 at 4-3. I mean, I feel like that's somewhat surprising.
I think it's very surprising. You look at this game and you think, oh, this is a shootout. This is a scoring fest. These teams are going to go nuts. But Green Bay is one of the slowest teams in terms of pace. In fact, maybe the slowest team in the NFL in terms of pace. I think I saw that from Dwayne McFarland of PFF earlier today. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like the under. I think the under is a good play, but especially because without Devontae Adams, I do believe that the Packers will attempt to run the football pretty aggressively, or to use the short passing game with Aaron Jones, and sort of, you know, I mean, this, you know, like they know their defense isn't that great. You know, they don't have their best skill guy in Adams. And so I would anticipate that they try and sort of melt some clock and don't want the Cardinals just to be moving the ball, Kyler Murray to have the ball the whole time. So I like the under as well. I'll take Green Bay here. Okay. You know, and Lord knows, nobody wants to ride my picks. I'm like 25 games under 500 or something. It's insane. Pete Briscoe has been making fun of me to the point that like Jamie Eisenberg was like sort of kind about it on this text thread.
Oh, that's not.
He's like, Will turned around. Don't worry about it. It's like, oh God, this really has gotten bad, huh? I do feel like I'll turn it around. But the point being is, you know, like, just because I love Green Bay doesn't mean that anybody should be riding me. If anything, you may want to jump on the Sully train. And
well, I'll tell you, Green Bay, I do a picks post every week too. Green Bay is not in my locks of the week, but if they were, you would like them. My locks of the week this year, I do five of them. Uh-huh. I've been pretty hot, pretty really? Hot. 23-8-4.
Woo! On those. Look at you.
We've been doing all right over there. I say that only knowing that I'm jinxing myself to go 0-5 this week.
Okay, so now I'm assuming that in your locks of the week, with those five picks, that you have not been playing them in this, you're not in the Super Contest or the Circa Million.
No. I'm just having fun. Because,
well, let's see. So the Circa, standings. So you said how many five a week and you're what?
Five a week. And after week 7, 23-8-4.
My. You are the leader of the Circa Millions, Hannibal Barca, at 29-6.
Ooh, all right.
You would be sweating some cash right now if you had, so 23 would put you, let's see, I'm just looking at the standings right here. You got a tie too, right?
Yeah, four ties.
Yeah, you would be in the, you'd be tied at 165th overall in the Circa Millions contest.
Don't hate it.
Yeah, I did this one year where I was like, I'm going to, I'm not in the Super Contest, but I'm going to do five picks a week and just like the Super Contest, and smoked it. And then was in the Super Contest the next year and was miserable.
So, that's the path I'm destined to go down next year.
You're obviously going to have to enter the Super Contest after you it's like having the lineup in DFS that would have won $1 million, but you put it in the wrong contest.
Yep.
And it's all you can think about for the rest of your life, unfortunately. I'm just kidding. So anyway, all right. So you like the Cards. We both like the under. I'm on the Packers. I'll just take the points with Aaron Rodgers. If you're giving me 6.5 points with Aaron Rodgers, I'm taking it. Let's take a break. When we come back, props.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
So Caesars, I think Sully kind of swapped up their prop setup on us.
Yeah, I don't. I think that might have been.
Is that just this game, or is that all? I mean, right?
So the layout on the website is different for those who are wondering what's going on. I think that's because they're completely kind of screwing around with Davante Adams, and they don't want to. You know, they want to. I don't think that they can do it the same way that they normally do, where you can have this whole section. Of
Packers
receiving yards and receptions. I think that they just kind of went down a list because there's so few players that you can actually place a bet on.
Yeah, because it's
a little confusing though. I was thrown for a loop.
I was looking through. I was like, what is going on here? I'm not finding all the guys that I normally see on here. Fired up. What's a prop that you're eyeing in this game?
So I'm looking at both Aaron Jones props to me, overs on rushing and receiving yards. The receiving yards already went up. I saw it earlier. It was like 30.5. Now it's 33.5. But, you know, so to me, I still like it either way. I just think that, again, the offense is going to start to flow through him a little bit more. He almost had like 6 carries last week. So it's not like is coming off a ton of work. Huge in the passing game, only going to get more. And again, 60 to me, the Cardinals, they're a good defense, but to me, I still think he should get over that hurdle there, especially when you talk about no Davante Adams. He's, you know, outside of Aaron Rodgers, their most talented player on that side of the ball at the skill position. So to me, I just think that if they look to him a little bit more than usual.
That wasn't on there when I was grabbing my picks. And so, but I would agree with you.
Really? Wow. So they might've taken it off.
No, it's on there now. It's the receiving yards. I love the receiving yards over 33.5. You know, Arizona's got some really good defenders and some good linebackers, but good luck on stopping Aaron Jones. They use him on wheel routes all the time. You know, they get him into position to, you don't have to add on there, producer Chris, but I will, for the record, I love the Aaron Jones over receiving yards as well. They're just going to, when Davante Adams is out, they're going to, like you said, the offense is going to go through Aaron Jones. Aaron Rodgers will design plays to get him the ball in space in the receiving game because he is so lethal. They use him all the time in the red zone like that. A single wheel route could get the over on this prop immediately. The total rushing receiving combined is 97.5, which is 4 more than the separate totals. I'm sure there's something, and actually the rushing yards has gone down to 59.5 and the under is -130. I don't know if I love the rushing yards myself, just because I think I'd rather go total combined yards or just.
That's probably your safest bet. Again, if I like both of them, then sure, go that route too.
Well, I mean, but you're getting I just think there's a chance he gets 60 receiving yards.
Yeah.
And then maybe has 30 rushing yards. And so I would rather go with the over in the receiving yards or the go with the combined because I think the receiving will make up the bulk of it. I do like the over on Chase Edmonds rushing yards, however. Explosive player. He's the running back version of Jacoby Myers. Hasn't scored a touchdown this year, although Myers didn't even have one in his career, right? And Jacoby Myers' last touchdown catch was against East Carolina, which
is crazy.
Edmonds, I think, will get enough carries here that he can pop that. And certainly, they don't really like to use James Conner as much between the 20s. They kind of save him for goal line work and view him that way. And so I will take the over on Chase Edmonds. I also have the over, and I don't mention, again, don't bet this right away. The Hopkins over 63.5. Receiving yards, were we to, make sure he's active, make sure he's good to go. If you get a full practice designation, you know, on Wednesday, or if we see that on Wednesday, if you saw that on Wednesday, or even a limited practice, it's probably fine. But you want to make sure Hopkins good to go before you pull the trigger on that. And you actually like the under on Kyler Murray's passing yards.
Yeah, to me, you know, it's you would think that that's surprising, but 276.5 is a pretty high number for him. He's gone under it in four straight games going into Thursday night, and he's just had efficient games where he hasn't had to light it up through the air. Again, he could still throw for 270 yards and have five touchdowns and have a great game. To me, I just don't know if I see him needing to throw for, you know, this much. I don't know. I think more you could see this being a, you know, get out early, and then all of a sudden you're kind of managing the game from that point. Because I do think that this is going to be a Cardinals kind of win here. So to me, I just don't know if they're going to need him to throw almost 300 yards, 280 for him to actually get there.
Yeah, if you think the Cardinals are going to cover by a touchdown, there's a very good chance of Edmonds over rushing yards and Murray under passing yards. The also, right. Same deal with James Conner. That's 47.5 is a lot for him.
Big number, but, and again, this is one I like. I like it at plus money, obviously, too. But he's gone over it. Where is it? Gone over it in back-to-back games. He's had six games with 10-plus carries. In Green Bay, they're 23rd in the NFL in run DVOA. So it's not like he's going up against a brick wall or anything like that. So, again, if you're like how you're kind of illustrating right there, if you think how I am and you think it's going to be an Arizona win over a touchdown, Connor and Edmonds are going to get touches in the second half. They're going to see a lot of work, and they're going to get a lot of work against the run defense that isn't that good. So you'd think, all right, they're going to probably pile up some yards here.
Yeah. We saw Connor. The other thing, too, is that Connor has really – God, Arizona hadn't had – they've had two close games this year, really? That's pretty wild. They've just been beaten crap out of everybody. We haven't seen that's where this is kind of interesting. You know, we talk about the under hitting. If this game is not close, it is definitely going under, because just how Arizona sort of wears on you. And then we've seen these games where Aaron Rodgers checks out and doesn't really care, like the Saints game, he just checks. He does this once or twice a year, so it feels like. But if we haven't seen the Cardinals on like the Cardinals offense unlock in a big score fest, except for that Minnesota game, really. And yeah, that would be the one concern I would have as you look at that Minnesota game where Connor played 39% of the snaps, 8 carries, 26 rushing yards. If this turns into a shootout, and we always talk about game script, if this were to be a shootout, then I would be a little worried about Connor over rushing yards, just because there's a chance that he he's not on the field. If they're playing from behind, it's
toast.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just one thing to think about. I took the under on Kyler Murray rush yards, which feels like a pretty dangerous prop to get in front of when you look at it. But his rushing this season is way down. It's 28.5 rush yards. I feel like last year you would see Kyler Murray props at like 65 rushing yards because he was running all the time. He has rushed for 20, 31, 19, 39, 1, 6, and 10 yards in his 7 games this season. The last 3 games, and I think that's really sort of the stretch where his shoulder's been bugging him a little bit, 7, 7, and 6 attempts, 17 total yards. And we saw this when he got a little banged up last year. He seemed less inclined to run as well. So that number feels a little bit high to me, 28.5. I mean, actually a lot bit high. I mean, he hadn't, he's only topped it twice. It hadn't topped it in the last 3 games combined. So I'll go under on Kyler Murray rush yards, and I will also go over on Big Bob Tonyan receiving yards at 35.5. I think something, I had one prop that moved on me, I felt like, as I was filling out my freaking thing. Was it maybe it's Edmonds over rush yards. Maybe move. Let's see. Tonyan. Tonyan to me is a guy that could. Yeah, it's 35.5. Maybe it was 34.5. Tonyan to me is a guy that feels like he could sort of be a bit of an X factor where he gets much more involved in the passing game, really for the first time all season. He's just hadn't been the sort of receiving weapon for Rodgers that I think a lot of people thought he would be this year. Only two games above 50 yards all season long, but one of them was last week at Washington, four catches, 63 yards, and a touchdown. So Rodgers more comfortable with him. No Davante Adams to soak up the targets. They'll flow through Aaron Jones, but with Aaron Jones moving out and about and being a problem for linebackers in coverage, that could open things up for Tanyan to maybe catch a long one down the seam. So I'll take Tanyan over here.
Yeah, not even that, too. Again, when we get more into the DFS section, too, you could talk about Tanyan as somebody who is going to be very much featured in the red zone. I mean, Adams has been that guy for Aaron Rodgers, but now Tanyan is somebody, again, a big body that Aaron Rodgers trusts, caught a touchdown last week, someone that could, you know, have a multi-touchdown game. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility if all of a sudden Rodgers goes berserk.
Absolutely. Okay, first touchdown scorers. I had Bob Tanyan on there as well. 13. I had Tanyan there 13-1. You have Marcus Valdes-Scantling. We both have Aaron Rodgers at 30-1 or 27-1. Excuse me. He might have been 30-1. It came down. Actually, it was definitely 30-1 earlier today. And yeah. It moved.
Yeah. It was Aaron Rodgers was 30-1 and AJ Dillon was 20-1. And I really like that one. It came down to 18-1. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I still don't mind Dillon though. They could absolutely use him in the red zone. And I do. Added Kyler at 9-1.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's a pretty fair price. They use him. They run him and they'll boot him in the red zone all day long and are not worried about doing that at all. It has been since he scored a rushing touchdown in his first three games of the season and hasn't scored one since. Maybe the play calling has changed a little bit, but I don't know. 9-1, it feels like a pretty good price for Kyler, given his ability down there in the red zone. Chase Edmonds, I tacked on it, 13-1, starting running back for the team favored by 6.5 points. They don't use him very much in the red zone, but he's 13-1. So if he breaks one, you could see it happen. Like I said, they use Connor all the time down there. And then I had Equanimeous St. Brown at 30-1 too. That would, and obviously Sully's Marcus Valdes-Scantling at 12-1. Obviously depend entirely on whether Valdes-Scantling is activated for this game. I would probably take EQSB off if MVS was active.
Yeah, exactly. Just pay attention to see what's going on there. I'm sure we will hear about it relatively quickly. Again, the Packers are traveling, so you'll just know who, like we knew with Adams. Like, oh, no, MVS did make the trip. You'll get those reports and all that. So you'll know pretty efficiently whether or not he'll be ready to go in this game. So yeah, just keep an eye out on that. But to me, Dillon's my favorite. Rodgers, again, you know, whether it's 30-1, 27-1, either way, I really like that one. And if you're talking about Arizona, again, Kyler at 9-1, that is great odds there. I know that James Conner has kind of taken over that role. I don't like his value. I forget what it was. I think it was like plus 575 or something like that. It wasn't anything particularly great. And so to me, Kyler or Edmonds are the ones for Arizona to me that make the most sense.
I dig it. All right.
We hit last week on DK Metcalf, by the way. We got there on Monday. Hit on Monday with DK Metcalf. Yeah,
fire that Saints in six. Click that. Let's see what we had on. See what we had on Monday. I meant to review that before. My bad.
It's okay. I mean, you know, I know we hit that one. I'm sure we hit none of the other ones.
You click on the Saints and Seahawks. Sorry. Hey, you know what? We'll look at it. Oh, there you go. Good job. I think I don't know if Kamara hit over. Oh, Kamara hit.
I'm not sure.
Kamara receiving yards got there. That's for sure. I don't think Lockett got there. Nope. I think we got there with Jameis, right? Got there with Jameis. Kamara rush attempts got there, I believe, as well. Under rush attempts. I'll double check
there. Yeah, he was flirting with that, but I think it was under. I think he was at like 20.
It might have been 20 or 22. And Penny didn't get as much run as I thought he might. But yeah, I mean, I think we did pretty well on that. And then scroll down. Can we see that first? Do we just to confirm we did? I don't think I had it. I think you had it, right?
I had DK. Yep.
You had DK. And I refuse to bet those numbers and lied and bet a bunch of losers anyway. DK Metcalf, 9-1. Nice job, Sully. Yeah,
there we go.
There you go. Not up nine. We're up like 12 units in that game. Suck it, anyone who says we didn't hit on anything. all right. Probably shouldn't yell suck it as we exit the podcast. That is the Gambling Show for Thursday Night Football between the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers. If you want to hear our take on DFS for this game, go to youtube.com/pick6. It's a YouTube exclusive. We do the audio here, and then we'll bring up the DraftKings show or the DraftKings page, and we'll break it down and give you a possible $1 million winner. All right, Sully, let's talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.